Tonight we shall be learning Bezer Hashem a little bit. It's really connected to Kisui Adam, and really moves into Halachos of Muktzeh a little bit, which is a beautiful opportunity to recap some of the Yesodos of Muktzeh, which is very good. We'll move on then. Just generally above Halachos of Muktzeh and a bit of Kisui Hadam will be coming again. Right. Okay. Okay. So we have mentioned last week the halach of Kisui Hadam, of covering the blood, which we must do, and the after shechita. And now we discussed the scenario: what happens if you don't have any really manner. Cover it with earth. What happens if you don't have earth? So we discussed last week a little bit that you shouldn't really be shechting unless you know with confidence that you've got what you need. Now, what happens if a person doesn't have and he wants to shecht, but instead of having earth, he's got ash available? Could he cover with ash? Now, there's two questions to that. Can you cover the blood with ash? Now, there's two parts to the question. One is it a good mechaseh? Is it eligible for a kisui? Is it a good covering material? That's question number one. And the answer to that is that it is, yes. And the other question is, well, assuming that it is, have you got any permission to do that in terms of muktzeh? Is it a problem of muktzeh or not? And this latter question is addressed in Siv Tezvav. So Siv Tezvav, which is the second line on page Kuf Yud, tells us the following: Eifa Kira, you've got ash, which was used for the cooking. Remember, this is Yom Tov. Eifa Kirsha Husak Merev Yom Tov, which was used for cooking before Yom Tov. Now, Mota Lechasos Boy, you're allowed to use that. Now, you want to shecht, you don't have any earth, which is the ideal item. You don't have it. You want to shecht your animal. You want to shecht it. And you say, "Oh wow! Look, I've got in that cooking thing. I've got in the oven. I've got some ash. Why don't you use that? It works as a kisui adam." So this is mutar lechasos. But yes, you can use that. That's fine. But if you only use this, if this ash has been used on Yom Tov only, and it wasn't prepared at all before Yom Tov, then it would be also. Because then it's something which was never thought, it's something which was only newly created. This ash is a newly created item on Yom Tov, and therefore it's noila, then I cannot use it for kisui of the blood. However, elim kain, unless hucham, if it is still hot, shiroi litzlois boi beitza, if the ash has just been used literally minutes ago and it's still hot, and in fact it's hot enough that I can still you don't call it roast an egg? Is it roasting an egg? Pardon? Yeah, roasting? Yeah, you could call it. So you can still, it's still got enough heat. This ash has got enough heat still to roast an egg. Then it will be no muktzah at all in the first place. It's not muktzah. Ash, which is still hot, is not muktzah on Yom Tov. Why? Because it's got a purpose. I can still cook an egg, roast an egg. So therefore, it's not muktzah, and you can still use it. The hot ash is good to be used for kisui hadam. Veim shachat, and if you did shecht, muta lechasos boy, you're allowed to cover the blood. Afal pi, although shein roitzlis boy beitza, even if you're not actually physically going to use it for roasting of the egg, but you can still use it. Miu adif tfei lechasos bedeker notes, beofat tichuach imieshle, but of course it is better yet. Instead of using ash, which is hot, is second best. Of course, if you have got available proper earth, you should by all means use that for the kisui hadam. Sivkot Nein Ches gives us just a bit of an explanation why this is not muktzah. Why is this hot ash not considered muktzah? Sivkot Nein Ches, three lines from the bottom. Helim kenu cham roite esmoil, yesterday, be'oysen eitzim. Yesterday, when the oitzim oyu mukhonim lehesik levashav etzlois. Yesterday, they were hot and you could cook with it. Ve'odin ha'bitashmish is there, and it's still used for that. You still don't have muktzah. So therefore you can use them. Since you can use them for the cooking or roasting of an egg, you can also use it for kisui adam. In other words, it is not mukti because it's got a purpose. Page 220, top of the page, see Tezayin. Hichnis ofer habele beiso. That's an interesting question. What happens if you want to do kisui adam? All right. Problem is, you have no designated earth for the kisui adam. What you do have in your house, you happen to have a pile of earth ready for gardening. Now, gardening, we're not referring to the gardening you do in the house with the outside with the roses and the sunflowers. And no, this is the garden you do inside the house. Remember, no stones, pure earth. So every now and then, I don't know how often they did that, I imagine very frequently, so they have to take the earth and kind of sweep the earth and do a bit of gardening in the kitchen and in the dining room because there was no stones. And you'd always have a bit on the side of the house, in the house, you'd have a pile of earth. I must have mentioned, I don't remember when and where, but I must have mentioned that when the sister of the Chofetz Chaim came, Chofetz Chaim said to his sister, "I'm really jealous of you." Why was Chofetz Chaim jealous of his sister? So they say over the story. They didn't see each other very often. And Chofetz Chaim said he was very jealous of his sister. Why was the Chofetz Chaim jealous of his sister? Because the Chofetz Chaim, when he was in his most senior years, he became internationally famous. He became a very famous person, primarily because of the publication of the Mishneh Berurah. Not because of the Chofetz Chaim Shmuel Zaloshin, but much more because of the Mishneh Berurah, which was printed at the beginning of the century. He became very famous, and I was never quite sure this is a myth or reality. And I did check, and actually the way I checked is I looked at when he was Nifta, I looked in German newspapers, which was far away for the from Braden to Switzerland to Germany. It was very far away, and I checked in German newspapers how they described the Chofetz Chaim's Ptira, because I had real evidence that he was really internationally well known. He wasn't just nowadays that we speak about the Chofetz Chaim with that reverence. It was actually then already Chofetz Chaim was absolutely an international star. So the Chofetz Chaim, when he in his later years, he was very famous, and because of that, he changed to what was considered the contemporary kitchen design. And instead of having earth, I think it was probably it was sponsored by the yeshiva or by the kill. I'm not sure who sponsored it, because he was quite poor himself for the most of his life. So Chofetz Chaim had, instead of having earthen floor, he actually had a stone floor. And when his sister came from visiting, she was be'emes, extremely poor. His sister came to visit the Chofetz Chaim. They're both very old. And the Chofetz Chaim sister came to visit him. And he said, "I'm so jealous of you." She asked him, "Why are you jealous of me? Look, you're the Gon Hadoi, you're Tzadik, why are you jealous of me?" She was a very, very simple lady to describe it in a politically correct way. And then he said, "You know, because you still have an earth floor. And it's like an earthen floor, and I already had to go to the luxuries of the generation. I had to have upgrades. And my upgrade is I've got a stone floor. And you, I'm jealous of you. Still, you've got the basics. You've got your priorities right. You've got an earth floor. And I still got a stone, and I already got a stone floor." So he was genuinely jealous of his sister. So now, So this was already 100 years ago. People still had earth in the houses. So now what happens if you've got a bit of earth in your house and you want to use that earth for the kisui adam of the shechita? Can you do that? Yes or no? So here says the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Tezayin, top of the page, Hichnis of Ahab Lebeisoi. If a person brought a lot of earth into his house, literally it means gardening. It doesn't really mean literally gardening. It means how should we call that? If you need the earth for the house, like when it gets dirty, you just like... Yeah, Leshot Chos, how would you call that? How would you say that? It's for spreading, for the purpose of... That's the Hoover nowadays. In those days, you just cover with earth. I wonder what's easy, actually. Maybe we should go back to that. it's really a lot easier. You know, when it's messy on the floor, you just pile up some earth. Definitely. So, so you have a pile of earth there. And it is piled up in one place. Muta, it is permitted lechasois boy. It is permitted to cover the blood with this designated earth. Why? She calls man that as long she would suffer that it's piled up, died to your love, a person's mind is on the earth. Lokal for everything, mashitzach for everything you may need. But if you only bring a tiny bit of earth, a tiny handful, for the earth purpose in your house, then it wouldn't be permitted to use for say it's only a little bit bottled, it's bottled to the earth, and then you can't actually do anything with it. It's bottled to the earth. So Abayi said the concept that we're learning now is that if you have got, ideally, you should have earth ready for the Kisui Adam. Great. Fine. So it's not Muktzeh. That's what you intended. It's great. Now, if you have earth ready for spreading of the floor, and that's designated and it's ready in your house, that, if need be, you can use for Kisui Adam. Why? Why can you use it? Because it's not Muktzeh. Because when you pile up a bit of earth in your house, then you may need it for spreading, but you may need it for something else. So it's really not mukta. You've got your mind of a person is on it, and therefore it's not mukta. Habay said this is a general concept in Ilchas Mukta, that mukta means that it's designated, but only specifically for one particular purpose. Mukta means that you're going to use it. Your mind is on it, you're going to use it. Fine. Vachanzen, we'll see already what you're going to use it for. If you're using it for spreading, it's good. If you're using it for kisadam, that's also good. As long as it's not excluded from your mind and your awareness, because then it would become mukta. Alright, see if you zain. Machni sodom loy kuposoy, off for the bias. A person can bring a bit of earth into his house. Bistam, which generally, and v'oisevoy kol tzorcha, when you do all the purposes with it, v'loyem rinon, and we do not say shul bottle like of karak abayis, we don't say that it gets bottle nullified to the earth of the ground. So v'hu, and that is sheyicheid loy keren zovis, if you designate it on the corner of your house, so on the side of your dining room, next to your sink, you put a bit of earth, and that's fine. That means that it's not mukta. Tekim v'shaloy shotcha, and since you haven't spread it yet, it's piled up on the side of your dining room next to the couch. You have that pile of earth. Very good. So muchmilsa, so it's evident the letzorkoi boile that you're still going to use it. There's a purpose in it and you're going to use it. So it's not mukta. And therefore if it is slightly soft and not particularly solid earth, you can use it for kisui hadam. Sivkotn peihe in the Mishnebuah. Meloi kuposoi, you have a bit of earth. Me'erev yomtev, from before yomtev. Ume'are oisoi, and you spread the alakaka on the ground. So therefore, it's not mukta. The Mishnebuah in Sivkotn peites reminds us of another problem. What is the other potential problem that can happen with taking earth and spreading it? So fine, we've said it's not mukta. All right, because you've took it before Yom Tov, you piled it up, it's not mukta. You can use it for spreading, you can use it for kisadam. Very nice. Shkoyach. But what else do we need to keep in mind? Nice place to think about this halacha. There's another potential serious transgression and serious issue by taking this. That's right, smoothing, absolutely. That's what Mishnah Berurah points out over here. You better make sure that you don't smooth it. I don't know if that's, probably referring to that. Don't make a hole, because making a hole, if you make a hole, it's you're going to end up straightening up, which is a problem in its own right. You may not make a hole, because by creating a hole, you're likely to going to smoothen it up. Yeah, that's what you said, which would be a problem. So what you have to do, you have to take, you've got this pile of earth, you take a little bit from the top, and that's what you may do. But first of all, you're not allowed to make it completely smooth, so don't take in a way that it's a smooth earth, that's also won't be allowed to do. And you also may not take deeper, that it becomes actually a hole, because then you're going to end up smoothing it, which is mashvegumis, which is also. So just take a bit from the top. Okay, very good. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Koton, yeah, in Seif Koton Tzadik Aleph, Imu Afa Tichuach, he must be slightly soft. Dim Loi Kein, if it is very hard, Halotur Ketisha, you'd have to crumble it, but also that's also in its own right. So again, earth, which is too solid, you may not crush it, you may not crumble it, because that's an Issa on Yom Tov as well. Yeah. Okay. Now, Seif Yud Ches moves on to another topic. Yud Ches talks about the famous koi. Koi. Ever came across the koi? So it's machlokes what a koi is. What koi do you remember?
It's a mixture of a deer and a
goat. Yeah, very good. So there's two types of kois. Now I want to say, whenever I say koi, it brings me straight back to Gates 90 Tovshin Nun Zayin, 98. Why? Well, you remember Koi? Abraham Gorbetz? That's it. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Kri. Okay, so that's right. So generally, we call the Koi a Koi. And we're going to soon speak about what kind of animal it is. But it's one of those things that Abraham Gorbetz in Gates said, he calls it a Kri. And you cannot prove or disprove any opinions, but Kri, I don't know, so the only and first person I ever heard calling it a Kri was a Von Gorbitz. And, yeah, that's what we heard, we called it Kri, yeah. But I don't know. If you look in Art Scroll, Art Scroll says Koi. Art Scroll says Koi? What did they also say Koi, right? All the, what is it? We'll see in a minute what it is. It's a mixture of a deer, and we'll see soon what it is. There's actually two opinions. There's two types of koi. We'll speak about them in a minute. But first, how to actually pronounce it. So it's either a koi or a kvi, and we're going to stick to, in honor of Abraham, should we stick to kvi, or in honor of Art School, we're going to stick to koi. I'm not sure. How do you call it? How do you know it? Kvi. Yeah, so I'm not sure. So okay, the published editions generally go for koi. Not sure. Ah, I see. Very good. So okay, so what is exactly a koi? Here's an interesting shaila. There's two types of kois. So let's see what a koi is. What the koi that we're going to be addressing over here is a koi perishu. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Yud Ches, koi. Perish beria. This is a type of animal. Shenold mitayish v'tzvi. It's a mixture. It's a special. It's a combination of a tayish and a tzvi and a deer. So it's not. It's a combination between a deer and a kind of goat. And the tayish is the female. So now. That's one type of koi. The Mishnah Berurah in Seif Koton Tzadik Beis reminds us that besides that kind of mixture, which I wonder what there must be a name for that. I don't know what it is though in English. There's another type of koi as well, which the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Koton Tzadik Beis tells us. What is the other type of koi? V'yesh oid min koi. There's another type of koi, shuberi b'fnei asim, which is a different type of animal altogether. It's not a mix between a taish and a tzvi, but it's a different independent animal. V'usovik chaya, sovik beima. And that is perhaps a chaya, perhaps a a non-domesticated animal, sofik beima, perhaps a wild animal, perhaps domesticated, perhaps wild. We're not quite sure what it is, so we aren't sure about its about what it is. We have vino lechum reshneim, and we go with both stringencies. To do in kisui kichayev bechelbon also beima. So there's two types of kois. One is that we know exactly what it is. We know its mother is a taish, and its further is a tzvi, and that's one kind of koi. There's another type of koi that it's just a type of animal, which is a bit of, and we're not sure if that animal it goes into the category of wild animals or it goes in the category of domesticated animals. There must be such a thing in the contemporary. There must be. I don't know much about animals. There must be something we're not sure in what category it goes. Is it a wild animal or is it a domesticated animal?
Buffalo.
Buffalo, interesting.
Yeah.
I would have thought that buffaloes are I don't know, well, yeah, maybe buffaloes. Yeah, anybody, any knowledge on buffaloes? Why? It could be. Yeah. So perhaps, okay, so that would be a good example. That would be a good pshat, according to. So if the koi, what the Mishnebua says a koi, that it's a sofik behema, sofik chaya, we're not sure in what category it goes, then that could be like a buffalo or something on those lines. Very good.
Why is a buffalo not just a
behema?
Which are you quoting? Which number are you quoting?
But I'm sure how bad it's a buffalo.
You don't think he's Adam at all? Okay, good. That's the point. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Okay, we are going to discuss this in greater detail tomorrow, Mitzvah. Who will be good? Because I want to. Well, let's get this clear, especially how the Mishnebua, our scenario over here, and what we can learn from it with regards to the koi, and generally what we do about a sofek. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Shulchan Aruch Mitzvah Ches. To summarize, we learned this evening for Siyata Dishmaya. So we learned a little bit about the Chizmukta tonight. We learned that. What's that? We learned a little bit about Chizmukta tonight. We learned that ash is really really would be a good kisui for kisadam. It would work. There's a problem of mukta though, because ash normally is a mukta item, unless so generally that if you've got ash on the side, you can't use it because it's mukta. Therefore, we cannot cover the blood with ash. However, if it's still hot, which then means that it's still a use, it's got still some use. You can still cook something with it, you can still roast an egg with it, and then it's got a use, and therefore it's not mukta, therefore you can use it for kisui adam, because it's not mukta. We also learned that if you've got earth in your house, which you want to use for, if you've got earth in your house, which you really intended, and you planned to use it for covering the dirt and the thing on the floor, so that earth which was brought into the house before Yom Tov, you can use that for Kisui Adam as well. Which tells us, Chiddush with regards to Hilchas Mukta, if something is designated for one purpose, a perfectly good purpose, so that makes it into non-Mukta. You can therefore change its purpose and use it for Kisui Adam. So that's fine, as long as it's not mukta, then it becomes a permitted item. It's something which your mind is on it, and therefore it's not mukta. Therefore, you can change its purpose and use it for kisui adam. However, if you never plan to use it, it then becomes mukta. Similarly, if you only have got a tiny bit of earth which you brought into the house before Yom Tov, then that's considered muat, and that's bottle, that's nullified to the floor and to the ground, and therefore you cannot take it. We also, the Mishnebua took the opportunity to remind us that if you've got a bit of earth, make sure that you don't smoothen it. Certainly make sure that you know mashvi gumos, don't fill the holes with it, because that would be a separate issue of mashvi gumos. We also learned that if you take a bit of earth into the house, that doesn't automatically become nullified to the ground. Only if it's a little bit, as we just said, if you take a little bit of earth into the house, it becomes nullified to the ground, to the earth. However, if you take a large amount, it's not nullified, doesn't become bottled to the ground, and therefore you can use it for kisui adam. And finally, we mentioned that there's two types of koi in preparation for tzivit yudches, which we're going to be learning tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. We learned there's two types of koi. One is a mixture of a tayish and a tzvi, and the other one is a separate animal, which we are not clear as to whether to identify it as an animal or as a wild or a domesticated animal. And more on the koi tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. I wish you a very good evening.